You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, family, we'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And then if you want, you can also turn to Philippians chapter 4. That's a little bit later in your New Testament. Philippians chapter 4. You can put a thumb or a placeholder there. Luke chapter 2. So we are in the Advent season. It is moving full steam ahead. And once again, listen, the purpose of the Advent season is for us to prepare ourselves, for us to get our hearts ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus, Christmas Day, the day King Jesus arrived. And there are four themes throughout the Advent season that the church has historically focused on. And we talked about the first one a couple weeks ago. We talked about how we can have hope because we can put our faith in Jesus. We have every reason to be hopeful. We talked about the second one last week. We talked all about peace last week. We talked all about peace last week and how Jesus came to restore peace between God and men. In other words, here's why he came. He came so that we could have a relationship with God. Outside of relationship with Jesus, the Bible says that we are still stuck in our sins, which means we are in opposition to God, which is the exact opposite of peace, right? But Jesus came so that we can be in the best relationship ever with God. And here's how he did it. Here's how he made it possible. He took away our sins. Amen? How many guys who were here last Sunday were getting a little nervous at the beginning of that message when I said Jesus' main goal wasn't to take away our sins? Some of you are about to get up and, we're about to walk out. Like, that's it. I knew this guy. He had gone off the deep end at some point. I love messing with you guys so much. We landed on the truth, though, didn't we? We landed on the truth. Come on, Jesus came so that we could have a relationship with God. That's why he came, and here's how he makes that possible. He takes away our sins so that we can have the most pure, vibrant, loving, adventurous, purpose-filled, hope-filled, peace-filled relationship you could ever have with anyone, but you get to have it with God. Come on, it's amazing. And today I would add that it's also the most joy-filled relationship you could ever have. Friends, we get to talk all about joy today. You guys want to talk about joy? Come on, let's talk about joy today. And look, okay, I'm about to ask you what it is in life that brings you joy. But before I do that, I just want to clarify. Let's talk about what joy really is. Okay, and so last week we were talking all about peace. And I said that we live in a culture that's deeply confused about what peace really is. I said that we often confuse true peace with things like momentary mental breaks. Okay, here's my thought this week, though. I don't think our culture is confused about what joy really is. I think we do know what joy is, but I do think we're deeply confused about where to receive it. Amen? I think we're deeply confused about where to get joy. So what is joy? Okay, I think we know this. Joy is a feeling. Joy is an emotion. It's a good feeling, right? It's a good feeling. It's a feeling of satisfaction. It's a feeling of happiness. I think we know that, and I'm confident we all want that. We all want to be happy, right? But what about this? Did you know that joy is also a choice? Joy is a choice. I'll say it this way. It's a state of being. You can choose to be joyful, and I would argue that human beings are actually wired or designed to crave and desire joy or happiness. Why? Because God, our maker, he's a happy God. Come on, he's a joyful God, right? Okay, so let me ask, what brings you joy? What do you do to get some joy? Where do you go? What do you try to do to get some joy? And now you don't want to answer because I said we look for it in the wrong places, right? Now, where do you get joy? I'll tell you where I get some joy, okay? Listen to me. My wife gives me great joy. My kids give me great joy. My beagle gives me some great joy. You guys, this church family, The Gathering, gives me great joy. Some of you are like, you mentioned that beagle before us. These aren't in any order, okay? I haven't even mentioned Jesus yet. I will. Food. I'm telling you, food gives me some great joy. Pizza makes life good, church family. Coke Zero is the nectar of life. And I'm not kidding about this next one, okay? Listen to me. Batman brings me joy. Come on. Except for this old Justice League thing they did, that just brought me immense sadness. I'm going to say it. I'm a nerd. You don't want to know, okay? But look, there are all kinds of people and things that bring me joy. But listen, there is one person who has given me and brought more joy to my life than anyone or anything else. His name is Jesus. And no, I'm not just saying that because I'm a pastor and because we're in church and that's the thing you're supposed to say. Part of the reason I am a pastor is because Jesus has given me so much joy, and I want everyone to experience what I get to experience with Jesus. Well, Jesus brings me joy. Okay, real quick though, I want you to notice, okay? I said this, but I want you to notice. I did mention other people and things that are not Jesus that do bring me joy. Okay, God, other things can bring you joy. God provides all kinds of things in life that have the potential to bring joy to people. Other people and other things can bring joy. However, that I would argue that Jesus is the only sure bet. I would argue that Jesus is the only continuous source that we can go to for joy. And listen to me, there are plenty of things in life that promise us joy, things that have the appearance of being able to give us joy. But so often those things turn out to be liars. And when we pursue those things for joy, they only lead to guilt and shame and stress and anxiety, depression, fear, and more. Come on, we are living in a culture that's deeply confused about where to get joy, right? So again, listen, this is so important. Joy is a feeling. Joy is an emotion. It's an emotion, it's a feeling we can receive from certain things or certain experiences, but it's also a choice we can make. We can choose to be joyful even when we don't have happy feelings. And it's so often after we make the choice to be joyful that those happy feelings follow. Well, we can make a choice to be joyful. So listen, while certain people and things can bring joy through relationship with Jesus, we can also choose to have joy in spite of what we have or don't have. And it's not a fake joy either. It's the real deal. So let me ask this morning, church, how strong are you when it comes to choosing joy? Do you have joy muscles? Do you even know about joy muscles? Come on, do you exercise your joy muscles? How strong are you when it comes to choosing joy, or how weak are you? Listen, Grace, this morning, maybe you're like, man, I just don't choose joy very often. We're going to talk about how we can do that this morning. Here's the title of today's message, Muscular Joy. Merry Christmas. It's going to be a beefy Christmas around here, I tell you what. So check this out, okay? These Advent themes, they build on each other, okay? Hope in Jesus leads to peace with Jesus, or relationship with Jesus. And relationship with Jesus always gives you the ability or the potential to choose joy. Relationship with Jesus will always lead to joy. If you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 2, we're going to pick it up in verse 8. We're going to read verses 8 through 14. We've looked at these verses the last couple of weeks, okay? And we've gotten a lot out of them already, but there's still more that we can get. We're going to look at what happened immediately after Jesus was born. So again, there were shepherds in the region where Jesus was born. These angels show up, and these angels give these shepherds the greatest news of all time. And tell them what's just happened, that Jesus, the Messiah, has been born. And so here's what I want us to notice today. In these verses, these angels are going to tell us exactly what this good news will bring to people who receive it. All right, you guys ready? Here we go, Luke 2, verse 8. It says, that night, this is Christmas night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring what? Come on, we know this. Great joy. To all people. And here's the good news right here. This is the good news. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, thousands upon thousands of angels, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." In other words, relationship with God is being restored. Right now, through Jesus, there will be peace, and God is pleased with, he favors those people who are in relationship with him. Or you could even say God's friends. He's pleased with, or he favors those people. Okay, so church, I'm telling you though, Jesus is the only sure bet for joy. Listen to me, the angel said it right here. Come on. He said, "I bring you good news that will bring joy." He's saying, "I promise anyone who receives this good news, all the people that receive this good news will receive joy." And what was the good news? Right here, that Jesus has come. The Messiah has arrived. Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, he has been born. And now you have to understand, okay, these angels were talking to some Jewish shepherds. So they wouldn't have needed much more of an explanation than that. They would have understood just when they were told Jesus, or they didn't use the word Jesus, but when they said the Messiah or Christ, the Lord is born, they would have understood the implication, or at least some of the big implications of the Messiah being born. So when they heard that news, come on, you got to understand, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that God's people had been waiting for centuries. They'd been waiting for thousands of years to receive this news that the Messiah had come. So when they received this news, here's what they would have understood with great joy. We're about to be free. God's come to rescue and redeem us. He's come to set us free from our enemies. He's come to draw us back to his heart. God himself is here to be with us and to help us. And look, that's all absolutely true. And that's plenty of reason for these guys to be filled with great joy. But check this out. Here's how privileged you and I are. We now get to receive this great news after Jesus arrived. We now actually get to receive this great news after he was born, after he lived the sinless life, after he went to the cross, after he rose again. Well, we get to receive this great news and understand maybe in some ways some more implications of what God has done for us. We get to understand a little bit more of the picture. Now, that's not to pretend for a second that we got this whole thing figured out, right? Come on, we're not smart enough to understand just how good and how far-reaching God's plan really is, are we? Come on, no eye has heard, no eye has heard, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him, right? But we do know at least enough to give us crazy joy. Come on, Jesus left heaven. He was born as a baby. He grew up and never once sinned. He loved and led like no man before him and no man after him. He then died on the cross to take away our sins, was buried in the grave, and rose again so that if we would trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus with our whole lives, we can be God's friends. We can be in relationship with God so that like Jesus, we can be sons and daughters of God Most High. That we can be brother and sister with Jesus. That we could be free. That we could be rescued and redeemed. That we could be set free from our enemies. Set free from sin and death. Set free from the terrible choices that we've made and the darkness and the curses that have plagued our lives. So that we could be led back to God's heart. And that God himself is here now and forevermore to be with us and to help us. He's here to live life with us. That we get to have the most pure, vibrant, loving, adventurous, purpose-filled, hope-filled, peace-filled, joy-filled relationship or friendship that you could ever have, and you get to have it with God himself. So friends, listen to me. I would argue that throughout the ages, anyone and everyone who has received that good news, anyone and everyone who has trusted and committed to and relied upon that good news in Jesus himself, I would argue that they have received great joy. Church, I have never met a person who genuinely loves Jesus that isn't filled with or doesn't have a deep-rooted feeling of joy in their lives. I've never met a person that genuinely loves Jesus that doesn't at the core, at least, have a deep-rooted feeling of joy. It doesn't mean that their lives have been perfect. It doesn't mean that every need that they have has been met. It doesn't mean that they've never experienced sadness or pain or even suffering. But man, at the heart of it, people that genuinely love Jesus, this is what I've discovered over time, they have joy. On the contrary, I have met a lot of unhappy church people over the years. I have met a lot of people who attend church who are still really unhappy. How can that be? Come on, if Jesus is our source of joy and people are showing up in church hopefully to seek out Jesus, how can it be that there are still a lot of church people, come on, that are still so unhappy? And so, Grace, this morning, listen to me, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But if you're honest this morning, maybe you're here and there just isn't much continuous happiness. Maybe joy is hard to find. Maybe it's rare. Maybe disappointment for you is more the norm. Maybe sadness, maybe bitterness, maybe even a negative outlook are the norm for you. Yeah, maybe there are things here and there that bring you momentary joy, but they don't happen often enough. And so in those times in between those things, you're looking around and you just can't find much joy. You're showing up in church and you're still not happy. Again, like lots of other people, they're showing up in church and they're still not happy. And so you're wondering, like many other people wonder, how can I receive joy? Where do I get happiness? How am I ever going to get some happiness? What's it going to take for me to receive joy? So listen, if you were to ask me that question, here's the question I would ask you. If you were to ask me, how can I receive joy? What's it going to take for me to receive joy? Here's the question I would ask. I'd go right back to what we talked about last week, and I would ask, how much peace do you have? How much peace do you have? Church, I'm telling you, these Advent themes, they build on one another. Hope in Jesus leads to peace. Or, come on, this is what we mean, relationship. It leads to relationship with Jesus, and friendship or relationship with Jesus is a sure bet for receiving joy. So here's where I'd start. I would ask, how much peace do you have right now? And so listen to me very carefully. Joy is an emotion. Joy is a feeling. Peace is not a feeling. Peace is a relationship status. Peace is a word that we use to describe the state of a relationship. But don't let your modern understanding of that word peace undersell what peace with God is really about. Come on, we're not just talking about some sort of ceasefire right here, where you and God just determine, oh, we're just gonna leave each other alone. But we've got a mutual understanding. We're not talking about a mutual understanding. We're not talking about coexisting church. We're talking about peace. I'll say it again. This kind of peace, pure, vibrant, loving, adventurous, purpose-filled, peace-filled, hope-filled, joy-filled relationship with God. If you don't have happiness, if you don't have joy, ask yourself, how much of that kind of peace do you really have right now? Look inside your heart and be honest with yourself about your relationship status with God. Do you have a friendship with Him? A real friendship with Him. A from here on out kind of friendship with Jesus, where you say, I want to live life the way you want me to. I want the peace that only you can offer. I want the life that only you can give. I want to receive the love that you have for me. I choose to love you back. Yes, please forgive me of my sins, but that is not all that I want. I want your help. I want you to lead my life from here on out. I want you to help me make better decisions that you would make that will lead me to more happiness. I want what you want for my life. I want the joy that comes from knowing you and being known by you. And then so you continue to live life with Jesus. You submit to Jesus. You talk to Jesus. You listen to Jesus. You meet with Jesus. You love Jesus. And you do things with Jesus. Church, check this out. You join Jesus on His mission. Come on, you want to, because Jesus is your friend, and you want to hang out with Him. And so if you're going to hang out with Him, you're going to be doing the things that Jesus is doing. And listen, so Jesus is on mission to make more disciples. That's where he's at, and that is what he's doing. So you join him there. You hang out with him there. You join what he's doing like you would with a close friend. Church, you want to know why so many church people are still so unhappy today? Because they don't join Jesus on mission. Listen to me. A missionless Christian is an unhappy Christian. A missionless Christian is an unhappy Christian. And what's so amazing to me is that there are so many church people today who are so reluctant to do the very things with Jesus that they know will bring them happiness. A Christian that's made their life too busy doing all these other things to where they can't commit their life to joining Jesus on mission is an unhappy Christian. And this is sort of a side note, but listen to me. Serving with your church family on a Sunday morning, showing up consistently with your church family to help and contribute, being a part of a neighborhood gathering, like contributing and being a part of one of those things, I'm telling you, those two things right there, oh man, they got the potential to bring a lot of joy to your life. Man, it's one of the best ways to start getting on mission with Jesus. And church family, when you become friends with Jesus, when you hang out with Jesus, you'll understand the truth of what the angel said because you will receive great joy. And then more joy after that. And then the deeper you go in your relationship with Jesus, you'll continue to receive more and more joy. And the stronger your joy muscles will become. They'll get bigger and bigger, even when things get hard. And they will, because you will have trouble in this life. You will. But nonetheless, you'll put those joy muscles to work. In other words, you'll remind yourself of how good Jesus is and the hope and the peace that you get to have with and in him. You'll thank him for what he's done for you. You'll be so happy that he's here for you. You'll worship him for who he is. You'll praise him for the future that he has prepared for you. And you'll be rooted in joy even when the world around you can be falling apart. Come on, you can get ripped with joy, church. You can be all swole. Let's get serious. Here's what I'm saying. You have a choice. You actually have two choices when it comes to joy. Check this out. One, here's your first choice. You start a friendship with Jesus. You make the choice to start a friendship with Jesus. You hang out with Jesus, and you begin to receive the joy that he continues to give through continuous friendship with him. And then here's number two. Even when you're in friendship with Jesus, you can choose to be joyful in the midst of all circumstances because of who Jesus is, because of what he's done, and what he will continue to do. Friends, it all goes back to relationship. If you have none, if you have a little or inconsistent relationship with Jesus, your joy will be momentary and fleeting. Here's what happens. When you have little or no peace with God, you end up giving power to other people and circumstances and lies and even Satan himself. You give power to all those things to steal your joy. When you have little or no peace or no relationship with God, you live outside of the truth, which leaves your life vulnerable to believing lies. And when you're believing lies, you begin to look for the joy that you crave in all the wrong places. You'll try to find your joy in perfect circumstances. You'll say, if I can only get this job, if I get this job, then I'll be happy. If my husband would just say this to me and treat me this way, then I'll be happy. If I could just look like that, then I'll be happy. If I just had this much more money, then I will be happy. But then those circumstances, they change or things don't come through, they don't work out, and you get robbed of your joy. We try to find our joy in money and more stuff and pleasure and personal gratification. We try to find it in sex and drugs and alcohol, you name it. And when you believe the lie that those things are the source of the joy you need rather than Jesus, when you go after those things as the source, they'll only leave you feeling guilty and ashamed and stressed and anxious and afraid and fearful, depressed, hurt, even angry. Those things always promise to be the end-all, be-all source of joy. But outside of friendship with Jesus and the desires that he has for your life, they will always give you the exact opposite. Jesus is the only sure bet. So listen to me, church. Stop giving circumstances and people and materialism and lies and even the devil the power to steal your joy. Stop giving that power away. Exercise your joy muscles. Make the choice to find your joy in the end-all, be-all. His name is Jesus. Start a friendship with Jesus. Hang out with Jesus. Worship Jesus. Serve Jesus. Go deeper in your friendship with Jesus. Trust in, commit to, and rely upon him from here on out. You will receive joy from him. And in the midst of hard circumstances, you can look to him and still find joy. You can still be happy. Or maybe you say, well, listen, that's all easy for you to say, Pastor. Because you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through right now. Listen to me, with so much grace this morning. With so much grace. If that's the way you feel right now, if you feel that what you've been through is too tough for you to actually have joy, then by definition, you are allowing your circumstances to steal your joy. Which means you've already taken your source of peace, Jesus, for granted. I probably should have said this is going to be strong before I said that. My bad. Listen, okay, no, I probably haven't been through what you've been through. I probably haven't been through all the same circumstances and things that you've gone through. Can I tell you something, though? And this really should encourage you this morning. You are so unique. Man, there is nobody else like you. And you are loved by God. Just the way God made you, oh, man, you're one of a kind. However, in the grand scheme of the map of human existence, your circumstances really aren't all that unique. There are a whole bunch of people out there. I may have not been through what you've been through, but there are a whole bunch of people out there who have been through some very similar things, are going through some very similar things. There are a lot of people out there that can relate. And I would argue that there are people who have loved Jesus, who have been through what you've been through, and maybe even much worse, and they have still been able to live lives filled with joy. They've still been able to live lives with joy because of relationship or friendship with Jesus. Think about Paul. Other than Jesus, as far as the record that we have, Paul probably suffered more than any other person that loved Jesus, and yet he was a man full of joy. Okay, but let's not forget about Jesus either. Come on. Jesus left heaven and took on humanity. He experienced cold and hunger and sleepless nights and stress and death threats and betrayal. He was publicly lied about and accused. He was spit on. He was beaten. He was hung naked on a cross publicly. He suffered immensely on that cross. He died and he was buried in the grave to give us peace, to make a way for us to have relationship with God. And yet, in spite of all that, he remains the source of joy. But come on, think about Paul. Other than Jesus, Paul likely suffered more than any other person who has loved Jesus, and yet he was a man full of joy. Paul had crazy huge joy muscles, y'all. In fact, I'm going to let him flex for you this morning. Here's what I'm going to do, all right? Listen up. I'm going to show you what Paul went through. I'm going to show you what Paul's circumstances were, the things that he went through, and then I want to show you how he responded in spite of his circumstances. So I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28. I didn't tell you to turn there. It's going to be up on the screen. Okay, listen, here's Paul's circumstances. This is what he's been through. And by the way, you got to understand this. He went through these things because he loved Jesus, because he was being obedient to Jesus. He wanted anyone and everyone to have the hope and the peace and the joy that he himself had with Jesus. And look, I promise I am not here to make light of your circumstances. I promise I'm not. I know many of us have been through some hard and even very hurtful things. Okay, so grace. However, most of the time, and this includes me right here, most of the time, the difficult or the hard circumstances that we've been through are usually a result of the fact that we make some bad decisions. Usually they're the result of us making decisions or putting ourselves in situations that might be the exact opposite of what Jesus wants for us. Paul went through these things, I would argue, because he loved Jesus. Check this out. 2 Corinthians verse 11. Or chapter 11, I'm sorry. He says, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. It means on 5 different occasions, he was whipped 39 times in a row. There's a command in Deuteronomy where God says, don't whip a man more than 40 times. And so they would stop at 39, even though they're doing this brutal thing, they'd stop at 39 because they didn't want to risk breaking that command. But they also began to discover over time, most people didn't even live to 39. But a lot of people died receiving the 39 lashes. They'd get a third of the lashes right here on their chest and the other 2/3 on their back. 5 times Paul received those and was beaten within an inch of his life. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and they thought they had killed him. They only stopped because they thought he was dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. That hurts. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden, or you could say the pressure or the stress or the anxiety of my concern for all the churches that he'd helped plant. And friends, you need to understand that these things didn't happen to him like over a period of 2 weeks. This was his life for like 2 decades. Paul, how many know? Paul didn't just have a bad day. He had 2 bad decades. Come on. And yet watch what he says. Actually, watch what he commands. He's about to give us a command. This dude is about to flex his joy muscles. Check this out. If you got your Bibles open to Philippians 4, we're going to read verses 4 through 7. Watch this. Here's what he writes. He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Always be full of joy in the Lord. But Paul, you don't understand. Life's too hard, man. What I'm going through is too difficult. No, I get it, he says. I understand. So he says, I say it again, rejoice. Be full of joy, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And here we go, church. We're going to read some scriptures we read last Sunday, and I hope we get it even more today. Don't worry about anything. Mr. and Mrs. Christian, Mr. and Mrs. person that's in relationship with Jesus, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which will lead to joy, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus, as you live in relationship with him. Church family, how can Paul command us to be joyful? How can he command us to be joyful even when we have been through or we are going through the worst that life has to offer? It's easy because he knows that we can make the choice to go through all of life with Jesus. We have every reason to be joyful. We can choose to be friends with Jesus, who will be our continuous source of hope and peace and joy that we need. And we can choose to flex our joy muscles when life gets hard because of who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and what he still has in store for us. How joyful are you, gathering family? How much joy do you have? If you have little or none right now, or you say, man, this joy muscle thing, it's hard for me to think about flexing. Do you want to? If you have little or no joy right now, do you want some? If you already have some joy right now, do you want some more? Come on, I'm pretty sure the answer for all of us is yes, right? Yes, I want joy. Yes, the answer is yes, we want joy. Okay, well then how do we get joy? And how do we get those muscles in shape? Church family, listen, here's how. Start to go deeper in your friendship with Jesus. Start a friendship with Jesus or go deeper in your friendship with Jesus. Talk to him, hang out with him, show up with him often, read his word with him and talk to him about what you are reading. Listen to him, join him on his mission. Start serving with Jesus, doing the things that he is doing. I guarantee you're going to start to receive some joy. And if you mess up, go talk to him about it. Let him love you. He will not reject you. Ask him for help. Find times throughout the week where you can be alone with Jesus. Do what I do. Park your car in the Alco parking lot. Come hang out with me over there. Come on, get alone with Jesus. Do that on your way to work or over your lunch hour. Stop and talk to Jesus. Show up with us here consistently. Accept the Every Sunday Challenge. Let us love you and encourage you. Worship Jesus with us. Join the mission here and serve with us. Come to breakfast. Get plugged into a neighborhood gathering and contribute there and grow as a disciple of Jesus. Listen to me, if your heart is in it, if your heart is in relationship with Jesus, he will give you joy. And then you want to get some huge joy muscles? Come on, church, you want to get ripped? Amen? Here's what you do. You start reminding yourself now and regularly about what Jesus has done for you. You start reminding yourself of the fact that Jesus loves you and that he has a glorious future for you in him. You thank Jesus, you worship Jesus, you serve Jesus. You take your eyes and your thoughts and your worries off your circumstances and you put them on your only sure bet. His name is Jesus and you let him be your constant source of joy. And if you need help remembering right now what he's done for you, I got some good news for you this morning. It's the Christmas season, church family. Come on, it's the Christmas season. This is the season of joy. We don't have to look hard. We don't have to search hard to find joy. Jesus has arrived. Jesus came for you. It's the perfect time to be reminded. He came to earth for you. He was born for you. He lived a sinless life for you. He died for you, was buried in a grave for you, and rose again for you. Even if it would have turned out that you were the only person that would have accepted his friendship, he still would have done it all just for you. He loves you. Come on, we got every reason to be joyful this season right now. Amen. Church, listen, I gave my life to Jesus on a March Sunday afternoon when I was 24 years old. Prior to that day, I was unhappy. I was empty. I was lonely. I was selfish. I was purposeless. I was prideful. And I was pursuing all the wrong things in life, believing that they would be the things that would give me the joy that I craved, and I kept coming up short. Friends, here's what I've discovered ever since that Sunday. Life keeps getting better and better and more joyful the longer I do life in relationship with Jesus. And my circumstances aren't the determining factor. For example, the amount of money I earn doesn't determine my happiness. I can't tell you the number of seasons that Rachel and I have been through since that Sunday where we haven't known how we're going to pay the bills, and yet somehow God comes through. Listen to me. There have been times where Rachel and I had to make some hard choices. There have been times where trusted friends have broke my heart. I have blown it and messed up way too many times to count. There have been times where my wife and I have cried together because of the sins that I've committed. There have been seasons of stress, seasons of anxiety, Seasons where we've worried, seasons of long uncertainty. There have been times in our lives where we've had reason to be afraid. But here's what I keep discovering in spite of my circumstances. And listen, some years have been more difficult as far as circumstances go than other years. But no matter what, here's what I keep discovering. Ever since that first Sunday, each year keeps getting better and better than the one before it. 2017 somehow was better than 2016. Now I'm looking forward to 2018. Man, life with Jesus keeps making life better and better all the time. He filled my life with joy on that day, that Sunday afternoon. And the deeper I go in relationship with Jesus, the more joy I have and the stronger my joy muscles get. You don't even want me to take this shirt off right now. I'm serious, you don't want me to at all. I almost said something inappropriate, but I'm not going to do that. Here's what I mean, okay? Listen, I don't have to search hard or look hard to find joy when things get tough. I remind myself regularly of how good Jesus is, of how much he loves me, how good he's been to me, what he's done for me, what he's still got planned. Man, we're still going places together, and that feeling of joy remains steady in my life. So church, Jesus was born, he lived, and he died and rose again so that we could have a relationship with God. So that, listen, as we've said several times here over the past couple of months, so that we could live for the why, so that we could live for the reason we were created. Do you remember why God created you? So that you could know God. I'm talking about friendship, relationships, so that you could know God and enjoy him forever. That's God's plan for your life. And that can start today, or it can go even further today. Amen? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What's he saying to you right now? Listen to me, grace this morning, and listen, we have the choice to choose joy. But that doesn't mean that just because we have that choice that Jesus isn't concerned about where your heart's really at and the other feelings you might be feeling. I'm reminded right now, the Bible says the Lord is near the brokenhearted. He's near so that he can wrap you up, so that he can look you in the eyes, so that he can encourage you, so that he can remind you that he's got you, that he has a hope and a future for you. He loves you so much. He wants to lift your head this morning. He wants to pour out joy into the core of who you are. He wants more than anything to be your friend. Mom, just be honest. Look inside your heart this morning. What's your friendship status like with God? What's your relationship status like with God right now? Do you need to take a step this morning? Do you need to say, Jesus, I want to be serious about our friendship. Jesus, I want what you want for my life. Mom, what if you tell them that this morning? Or Jesus, I want more. And maybe your friendship's been amazing, but come on, he's Jesus. He's got so much for us. If you say, Jesus, I want more. Church family, if you mean it, if you're serious about it, and if you will make the decision to walk out of here and start being consistent with it, let us help you be consistent. Let us encourage you. Show up together here with us. But listen, as we pray that if you're serious and ask him for his help and your consistency, Jesus doesn't fail to answer those prayers. Come on, and through relationship with him, through the a pure and a vibrant and a loving and an adventurous and a purpose-filled, a hope-filled, peace-filled relationship, man, you can have joy like never before with Jesus. Jesus, I know you can see everything that's going on in our hearts right now. I know you can see the questions. I know you can hear the prayers. I know you can hear everybody who's saying, Jesus, I really do want more with you. I want friendship with you. I pray, would you come and answer that prayer? I pray that you'd bless everybody, Lord. Draw us close to you. And if we don't know how to be consistent, if we don't know what it looks like to walk out of here, Lord, I pray that you would meet us. I pray that you would guide us and you would show us that, Lord, it's what you want for us. And I pray you'd help us to determine to be together, Lord, as you've had in mind. Let us encourage one another and help each other. Jesus, here's our prayer. Do what you want with us. Have your way in us. And my prayer for this church family is that you would make us a family full of joy. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name that we pray. And my whole family said,
thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.